And it is Wednesday, the first day of May in the year of our Lord, 2013. You're listening to Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO. And as promised, we're going to continue a conversation we began last Wednesday about Rabbi Daniel Lappin. Yes, one of my listeners sent me three of his CDs. We took a look at last week's two CDs that were dealing with the time between Adam and Noah. And the big thing he was really making a point of is that the Word of God ought to be read like a nuclear plant manual rather than a Shakespearean play. And the point he was making is, in a Shakespearean play, some of what is said may be historically true, like there were characters named Hamlet, etc., but much of the dialogue is made up by Shakespeare, and he's got points to make. And so, more important than the actual words said are the points of the Shakespearean plays. A lot of people read the Bible that way. They want to make points about the play, about the Bible, so that Genesis, talking about the creation of the world, they say it's not important that it was done in six 24-hour days. It could have taken billions of years. The point is that God is the one who created it. Well, Rabbi Lappin, in talking about the Old Testament, of course, is making the point that, no, you ought to read the Bible like a nuclear plant manual, which means what? Everything is important. Whether in a nuclear plant manual there's a rule about turning off certain lights before you leave or checking the gauges to make sure things aren't getting too hot, if anyone doesn't do their job, it could have terrifying aspects to it and results, so that everybody sees that all parts of the manual are important. So also with the Scripture. When God writes His Holy Scripture, He's not only giving us a revelation of the past, but He's also kind of telling us what the future could be like. And it was very interesting to see how Rabbi Lappin did that in showing how, by the time of the flood, people were living in a similar state in which we're living today. Rampant kinds of sexual abuse, rampant crimes, it was kind of like the last verse in the book of Judges. Do you remember that? The very last verse in the book of Judges? It really gives a fine summary of what it was like at that time, and of course, what it is like in our day. Let me read the last verse. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Boy, you know, yesterday Mark Smith and I talked about that gay basketball athlete who announced that he was gay, and people were saying that was being a hero. No. When you get a president of the United States phoning you, congratulating you on coming out, that doesn't take any courage. It takes a lot more courage to make it clear that what he is doing is embellishing a sinful lifestyle, just like adultery, homosexuality. There's no distinction in God's eyes. And it's just really sad that so many of our government officials are using the line of the devil these days rather than the line of God. But save that for another time, although we're going to be talking a little bit about that when we get now into Rabbi Lappin's next CD I was listening to, and that is the Tower of Babel. Now, one of the things that was very interesting, he began by talking about tall buildings that led to the downfall of various corporations. And I was unaware of that. The Pan Am New York building in 1963 was one of the tallest buildings in the world. And at that point, Pan Am was flying high. It really had a very good business. But after that building was built, it really began to flounder. And he had a number of examples. For example, the AT&T skyscraper, when it was first built, AT&T was really very well situated from a business point of view. You may not be aware of it, but they began to fall after that building was built, and somebody else bought it, changed the name, but then went back to AT&T because it was better well known. So what were we talking about here? We're talking about another building that was built. It's in chapter 11 of Genesis, called the Tower of Babel. It's only 9 verses long, but Rabbi Lappin was able to find a lot of things about it that I found to be really, really interesting. So, without further ado, let's kind of take a look at some of these items. Because it appears that in some situation, the Bible appears to be contradicting itself. For example, if you read before Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, it talks about the nations descended from Noah, his 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, what it says, which is very interesting, verse 5, from these the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his own language, according to their families, into their nations. So, it kind of goes through, and every now and then it says something along this line. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. It says that a number of times, also with the sons of Shem, according to their languages, and with also the son of Japheth, according to their languages. Wait a minute. In verse 1 of chapter 11, which follows this, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? And what the rabbi did, you see, this is where English translations can really be problematic. The Hebrew has different words. When it was talking in chapter 10 about them having different languages, even though the same English is used in chapter 11, verse 1, had one language and one speech, they're different Hebrew words. And the best way to describe that is, you know very well, if somebody is from England, even though they're speaking English, they have a, what do we call it? A London accent, or a Canadian dialect, or even within the United States, people in the South speak a little differently than those in the North, the West, and the East. See, what chapter 10 is talking about is they all had the same language, namely Hebrew, but they were different dialects among the families. They still could understand one another, but things would be said differently. Like in some areas of the country, that beverage you drink is called soda. In other areas, it's called pop. Now, both are still the same language, English. It's just a different reference. So once you know that, then you can understand someone. So what happened here is the Tower of Babel, the people were going to build it. And God himself said that if they went ahead and built it, because he came down to see, verse 6, indeed the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us, and that's capitalized, by the way, go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, Rabbi Lappin didn't talk about that us, because he's not a Christian, and so wouldn't believe in the Holy Trinity. But that, for us, is a sign of the Holy Trinity, just like let us make man in our own image. But there are, you know, other possibilities that people would use to get around that referring to the Trinity. So let's get back to the point that I really want to make here at this point, that the Lord came down to see the city. Now, it's kind of interesting, And this is a great point that he made. When the Lord came down prior to the flood to see the world, it doesn't use the word Lord in the sense of the name that was given to Moses in Exodus 3. Yahweh is how we would kind of pronounce it, although we still don't know what the vowels were because there were no vowels in the original Hebrew. But here you have a harsher word when it comes to the flood. In fact, it's even better than that. It's how God refers to the people of the flood. You know what he calls them? Flesh. He went down to see the flesh. In contrast to when we're talking about the people at the time of the Tower of Babel, he came down to see the sons of Adam. Now, both a, shall we say, more comforting use of the name for God in regard to the Tower of Babel, that God wasn't coming down to destroy as he did with Noah and the flood. He was coming down instead to fix the problem. And the way he was going to fix the problem is he was going to take the Tower of Babel and stop it from being built. Because why? Listen what the people say. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, they ended up being scattered abroad by God himself as he confused their languages, and they actually began to speak not just different dialects, but different tongues, like the languages at Pentecost. Remember how God had the disciples able to speak in all these other languages so the gospel was able to be heard by Jew and Gentile? Just kind of really interesting. In other words, even though Rabbi Lappin isn't making those points because it's New Testament, I could see some real tie-ins with the New Testament also time and time again. But staying with what he is dealing with, God, first of all, calls the people prior to the flood as just flesh, not sons of Adam, and the people at the time of the Tower of Babel as sons of Adam. Now, even worse is how these people want to build the tower. And I found this really fascinating. I had never really realized it. They wanted to build the tower by building bricks. Verse 3, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. So what we have here is a situation where they're deciding to build bricks. Now, what's so bad about that? Well, guess what? God isn't happy with this. Why isn't he? What do you think God's altar is built as or built from? Do you think that people in the Old Testament made bricks and then go ahead and built an altar to God? No. Chapter 65 of Isaiah. God is angry at his people. And verse 3 says this, this is a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick. Now, why is God angry with that? I mean, they are burning incense and it is an altar. But you see, it's not God's altar. It's man's altar. Because what did God want his altars made of? Stone. Stone that came right out of the ground. Stone that was formed by God. Stone is God's material for building bricks. I'm sorry, for building altars. Bricks are man's material for building altars. Now, this is the Old Testament. I'm not saying if you have a cement altar in your church or a brick altar that that's wrong today. But back in those days, God had specific directions as to how altars were to be built, and he wanted it from the dirt of the ground. He wanted it from the rocks that he himself had created. He didn't want his altar made by bricks, which man create. In fact, it's kind of interesting that bricks tend to have a negative connotation throughout the Bible. When can you remember another time that bricks led to slavery? Well, that's correct. The Israelites in Egypt, they were forced to make bricks. In fact, I guarantee you that the pyramids were not made of stone. I heard one theory as to how pyramids were made. It was actually a kind of a dust or really small materials that they could carry up in sacks up the pyramid, and then they would mix it with a ingredient that hardened it. So it got around the problem of how could they carry those huge slabs of whatever it is up a pyramid. Well, they did it in powder form, mixed it, and it became solidified. So that would have been a lot easier than carrying those huge stones up. Now, whether or not that's correct or not for all the pyramids, it did seem it was for some. But in the Bible, you know, bricks for altars was not what God wanted. This is why this says a lot about worship today. Does God want worship curved in on us? Are we the center of the worship? Are we the ones who are singing hymns deciding that God is so great that he ought to be praised? Or are we instead singing hymns from his own words in the Psalms and in the rest of the Bible? Mighty fortress is our God. You may not find those exact words in Psalm 41 that Luther based that Reformation hymn upon, but the same kind of thinking is there, that he's a strong bulwark, that he is a mighty fortress, and nothing can harm us when he has us in his hands. So, bricks and stones and mortar, these kinds of things, almost, according to Rabbi Lapin, are referring to the material world. Now, the main character involved with the Tower of Babel, believe it or not, is Nimrod. I've always talked about Nimrod as a hunter, and that's how he is referred to, as a hunter in Genesis chapter 10. But upon further inquiry, Rabbi Lapin came up that he was not a hunter of animals. I mean, many people were hunter of animals. He was a hunter of men. And what he did is he was moving men into the secular and material world. Just like many people at the time of the flood, they wanted a world without God. So also at the time of the Tower of Babel, there were those following Nimrod who wanted a world without God. And therefore they could build their own tower and make a name for themselves. The idea that bricks and building your own tower is really a way of looking at materialism. For example, let me read what Rabbi Lapin talks about, chapter 11, verse 3. They said each man to his comrade, "Let's make bricks and fire them." And the brick was to them as stone, and the cement was to them for mortar. Now, what is so amazing here, the word for cement and mortar, guess what? It's the same word in the Hebrew. And the point that he makes is a much better translation would be, and the materialism was to them for materialism. In other words, they were leaving the spiritual realm, moving into the material realm. And is that not happening today in our lives? I mean, you actually hear people who I thought had some brainwaves going on properly talking about there's not really a good reason, you know, to oppose gay marriage. Well, I can think of one reason. God is opposed to it. That's all we need. We don't need any other item. And yesterday when that sports announcer came out against the brave basketball player for saying that he's gay, not being a hero at all, of course. Doesn't take any bravery to do that today. But now the sports announcer was being attacked. But that's what Jesus says. When you stand up for the word of God, you will be persecuted. Well, we're living in a very materialistic society today. And so we ought not be surprised that this is where things are leading. And things are going to get even worse as time goes on. There were a number of points, and before we get to the end of the hour, I better just say, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N, and this particular CD was called Tower of Power, Decoding the Secrets of Babel. So you can actually go to his website. It's www.RabbiDanielLapin.com. RabbiDanielLapin.com. And you'll see a number of his items. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, we Lutherans, we don't think just because you're not a Christian that you can't contribute, you know, to a study of God's Word. Some people have some great language skills, and this rabbi does appear to have that, and he gives you insights that if you're reading the English, you just would never see. I mean, there's no way that you would figure out that the word for mortar and the word for cement is the same word. But it is. In chapter 11, verse 3, talking about the Tower of Babel. And so he's really doing something different there. And the thing that he's doing different is he's talking about materialism. So, well, what's the bottom line here? Well, Nimrod was an individual who was hunting men to get them to leave the kingdom of God, so to speak, and enter into what we would refer to as the kingdom of Satan, where you don't need God anymore. You can build your own cities and this sort of thing. Now, the Tower of Babel, there's a very, very famous painting called the Tower of Babel. And the tower is about finished, except around the top, it's not finished at all. Well, you won't believe this, but the European Economic Community wanted a building. And so they built it like that painting of the Tower of Babel. And it's just really quite amazing. The building's sitting there, and it's not finished. And why would they do that? Well, here's their theme. Europe, many tongues, one voice. Well, the problem is... That's the very opposite of what the Tower of Babel is about. There was not one voice. There were many voices. And God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to give them different languages so they would not become so haughty and end up dying like those at the time of the flood. This was a merciful thing for God to do. You really have a choice then between the vision of Abraham and the vision of Nimrod. Abraham's vision can be summarized this way, according to the rabbi. Each person uses God's laws to conquer him or herself. And understood properly, I don't have any problem with that. In other words, control your passion. That's the Abraham vision. The Nimrodian vision, somebody or some group uses force to conquer everybody else. And that's kind of what we need to be looking at, whether our legislative people, are they Abraham or are they Nimrod? Are they people who are helping you or in essence really just helping themselves? We'll be talking probably more about Rabbi Lappin. There was another CD between Muslim and Israel. Take a look at that, perhaps. But tomorrow we're going to have Wes Reimnitz on. So if there's something you want to talk about, eavesdrop on two pastors, he and I will be in the studio. You can call us tomorrow. And we'll only be too happy to take your calls and try and answer your questions. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.